we received guidance and we were guided to the straight path and we were shown the path and the way to success, which in our opinion is proximity to God. One of the manifestations of that is the legislation of the obligation of fasting in this blessed month. So this is one of the significant aspects of Ramadan. Another significant aspect of Ramadan is the fact that in the month of Ramadan, the doors to repentance are open. Now, this is a metaphorical expression. Basically, what it means is that repenting for one's sins, the chances of acceptance of one's repentance increase in the month of Ramadan. The Holy Prophet said, "Verily, the gates of heaven are opened on the first night of the month of Ramadan and are not closed until the very last night." Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the significance of the month of Ramadan in the light of the Quran and the Hadith. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy, in the program The Key on RIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
What you heard was an IRIB English Radio program.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
The audience of IRB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. May Allah accept your du'as and worships in the month of Ramadan. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We have been discussing, or we began our discussion last week. We said during this holy month of Ramadan, regarding the dua number 44 that is taught to us by our fourth Imam alayhi salam, and it is the dua to welcome the month of Ramadan. And we said the hopes is, inshallah, that we will learn certain characteristics or certain mindsets that we should have when we navigate through this month of Ramadan, with the hopes that inshallah it will enhance our month of Ramadan. And last week we learned the first lesson of being grateful and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for many, many things, but also for the month of Ramadan and the grace that is available in this month of Ramadan. And I read something interesting, you know, about the month of Ramadan and how it is a month that Allah says you are His guests, but yet He forces us to come into the month. Subhanallah. Yeah? Think about that, right? Like is when I tell you you're my guest, I still give you a choice whether to attend or not. You know? Allah doesn't give us a choice. And that just shows how badly He wants us to be His guests. Yeah? How badly He wants us to enjoy His mercy. How much He wants us to get His barakat. Yeah? And therefore He says that if I leave it to you, you may not come. Yes, I will force you to come. And this is the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That these things that God forces us to do, is for our own benefit. The moment we realize that, it's easier for us to be grateful for what Allah has done for us. And so that's the first lesson. The lesson that we focus on today, that this dua teaches us, is the importance of realizing that we are in constant need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, our Imam alayhi salam beautifully recites this, and it's a long passage, but I'll just recite the first line in Arabic. He says, وَعَيْنَّا عَلَىٰ سِيَامِهِ بِكَفِّ الْجَوَارِحِ عَنْ مَعَاسِيكِ وَاسْتِعْمَالِهَا فِيهِ بِمَا يُرْضِيكِ. And he continues, and he says, help us, O Allah, to observe the fasts by restraining our limbs from acts of disobedience towards you, and by employing our limbs to those things which pleases you, so that we may not lend our ears to any vain speech, and we may not direct our ears towards any amusement, so that we may not stretch our hands towards anything forbidden, that we may not step with our feet towards that which is haram, so that nothing may fill our bellies except for what you have made lawful, and our tongues may not utter anything save what... And it goes on. But what you understand is the Imam is teaching us a very valuable lesson, you know, that these things that we do in this month, the ability to stop something haram, yeah, it's an amazing skill that we have, you know. That we may have a vice that we do in other 10 months, but in the month of Ramadan, we'll stop it. Right? Whatever that vice is. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. But that's not us. It's the help of God that's doing it. The fact that we cannot eat, it's the help of God that's doing it. The fact that we are surviving on little sleep, it's the help of God that's doing it. Right? The fact that a 9-year-old can fast, amazing. Have you ever thought of that? It's amazing. How is that possible? It's the help of God, yeah, that's doing it, you know. We as parents are obstacles from the mercy of God reaching our children sometimes, you know. Like I've had many incidents and times when parents will tell their child, "Nah, don't fast, it's okay." But who are we to tell our children not to fast when God has told them to fast? You know, and especially we're talking about those who are baligh. We have no right to overstep God's laws and say that, no, don't do it, right? God has said it, and if God has said it, do we really think God's not going to provide the mercy needed to accomplish that task? Our grace of God is constant. The help of God is constant. And this is something that we have to accept. And this is a lesson I truly believe we need to take from this month. You know, the help of Allah can be understood on multiple levels. Yeah, on multiple fronts. For the first understanding of how much we need God comes from the fact that the help that Allah provides to us is innate. Yeah. It is essential and it's absolute. Basically, it's something that we can never separate, right? And that is that our existence is linked directly to the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? That every existence that we see in our world today stems from the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, our survival is based on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You understand? Yeah? Y'all be with me. I know it's tough. Yeah? I know it's tough. But be with me. This is important, okay? That when we look at our existence is only in existence because of the existence of God. Yeah? He provides that grace. He provides the constant flow. And if we were to stop receiving this grace, even for the blink of an eye, we would cease to exist. Right? And so our existence comes from there. And therefore, He is providing this to us. Therefore, we need His assistance constantly. This assistance, whether we realize it or not, we need it. Right? But that's always coming from God. That's one level. The second level of assistance is something that is more general and beneficial to all of His creation, besides life itself. Right? And this is the existence that is dependent upon the creative will of God. Okay? It is based on the fi'liya of God, the actions of God, but more from the khalikiya perspective, the creative will, which ensures that everything produces the effect that it should. Okay? Now again, be with me, right? The sun rises and the sun sets. The bees pollinate. Fire burns. Water quenches. Neck turns. Knees bends. Eyes see. Ears hear. How do all these things happen? Because Allah has made it happen. You understand? And so we are surviving because of a system that God has created. It's not that I'm hearing because I decided to hear. No, God allowed ears to hear. Yeah, God allowed eyes to see. God allowed tongues to speak. Man, if it weren't for God and the cause and effect system that God has placed, things wouldn't function. Wouldn't function. And so the functionality of things is a help that God has provided for us. And so we need that help of God. And so that's the second level. One is on the existence level. The second is on the creative and functionality level. The third area of help that we receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the help to live a life of obedience and submission to Him. Yeah. Now this level of help is different than the levels of help prior. The other levels of help that we talked about, whether we recognize it or not, it is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in this level of help, it is only available for those who seek it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what the Imam is teaching us. That we need to seek the help of God for His obedience. My brothers and sisters, we can change the world. Yeah, but we need the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an important lesson that we can take, yeah, from what our Imam teaches us. If we can do that in this month, you know, every day, ask the help of God. Even for things that He already does, ask Him for it. Because it makes it seem like we appreciate it. Imagine you wake up in for sehri, for suhoor, and you say to Allah, Ya Allah, I need Your help to help me fast today. Yeah, I need Your help to keep food out of my mind today. I need Your help to not listen to some music. I need Your help to not gossip. I need your help. Imagine if we admit to Allah what we need. Imagine how much more strength we will get. And if we can learn that in this month, then inshallah in all of the other months that come, we will have enough strength and backing from God to be successful throughout.
Dear listeners of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, you can follow this program entitled Minbar every day in the month of Ramadan. If you have any suggestion, you can send us your email at englishradio@irib.ir.
Love is everywhere, so much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran, I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish You'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan, 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 Ya Habib, Ramadan. رمضان ليتك دوما قريب ليتك دوما قريب
Ayahs, 30 days. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. A monotheist person not only reflects on the Qur'an, but also tries to explain the ayahs of this heavenly scripture to others and make them familiar with its teachings. Explicating of the Qur'anic teachings, first of all, was the duty of the Prophet and his infallible successors. Every faithful too, according to the extent that they had learned from the Ahlul Bayt, embarked on this heavy duty. So the ulama that are Muslim scholars took over this duty after the occultation of the 12th infallible successor of the Prophet, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, and have seriously continued this job till the present day. Today, this duty has become highly important due to the broad assault of enemies against the beliefs of Islam and humanity. In the fifth episode of Ramadan special series, we are going to explain Ayah 124 of Surah Nisa of the Noble Quran. The Ayah speaks on righteous deeds and the equality of man and woman in this regard. Stay tuned, please. Ramadan is the month of a banquet whose host is Allah, and everyone has been invited to the banquet. Fasting is not like Hajj, which is obligatory only when a Muslim is able, both physically and financially, to do it. Also, fasting is not like Khums or Zakat, which become obligatory for the additional amount of money or specific properties. Fasting also differs from daily ritual prayer, which is obligatory on everyone in any condition. Fasting is obligatory only during the blessed month of Ramadan for men and women who can abstain from eating and drinking for certain hours. Woman in Islam is equal to man in reproduction and continuation of generation. Man is father and woman is mother. Woman's role is not inferior to man. Both of them are essential for life. Allah says in Ayah 124 of Surah Nisa of the Noble Quran, "And whoever does righteous deeds, whether male or female, should be faithful. Such shall enter paradise, and they will not be wronged so much as speck on a date stone." Ayah 35 of Surah Ahzab of the Noble Quran also reads, "Indeed the Muslim men and the Muslim women, and the faithful men and the faithful women, and the obedient men and the obedient women, and the truthful men and the truthful women, and the patient men and the patient women, and the humble men and the humble women, and the charitable men and the charitable women, and the men who fast and the women who fast, and the men who guard their private parts and the women who guard, and the men who remember Allah greatly, and the women who remember, Allah holds in store for them forgiveness and a great reward." This ayah clearly shows that man and woman are equal before God. The road to perfection and sublimity is open for human beings regardless of their gender. As for social and personal rights too, there is no difference between man and woman. What seems to be discrimination in a few specific laws is due to the differences of man's and woman's nature. Therefore, some advantages are granted to man and some others to woman. God names Pharaoh's wife Asiye as a role model for all faithful. He also names Prophet Noah's wife as a role model for unfaithful. It means that woman is the axis of good and evil for the whole mankind. The reality of woman's status and dignity has been ignored in human systems throughout centuries. Some civilizations considered women inferior to men. Some others even considered woman as an animal at the service of man. In the ancient Rome, man was the absolute authority at home. He could sell, lend, or donate his wife as a means of pleasure or service to others. If she committed sin, he had the right to punish her in any way that he wished. He was entitled to even kill her. This continued in the West till Renaissance and the so-called era of Enlightenment. With the onset of the Industrial Revolution and formation of capitalist system, a new phase of women's slavery began. The capitalist system, in order to increase consumerism and coordinate the market of supply and demand, was in need of forging a hunger for consumption of goods. In view of this, the media controlled by capitalists modeled the tastes of society in line with their vested interest. Thus, people thought that they should consume more to have a happier life. This trend led women, consequently men, to excessive consumerism. Women, however, were harmed more due to their nature. Therefore, they started a competition towards physical show-off. In other words, profiteering media inculcated the feeling in women that their value and personality was related to exposing their female beauties and attractions. This turned women into tools in the hands of companies and tradesmen. Consequently, sexuality and nakedness became a norm, and little by little it became the highest criterion to evaluate women in the West. It is a matter of laughter that this magnitude of disrespect to women and instrumental use of them has ever since been introduced as support for women's rights, and Islam has been propagated as a violator of their rights. Ruling systems in the world have raised various claims on women since old times, and most of them have been formed with the motto of equality of the rights of men and women. The Islamic Republic system is not an exception in this respect. The Islamic Republic of Iran has put forward novel view on women, and that's why it has been the target of incessant assaults by enemies for 45 years. Iran's Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi said in an interview with the Italian journalist Oriana Fallaci in 1974, "In the life of man, woman is not considered anything except when she is beautiful and charming, keeping her female features. You women have never had a Michelangelo or Bach or even a great cook. You have had nothing great. Honestly, how many women have you seen in your interviews who are able to administer a country?" Imam Khomeini, the architect of the Islamic Revolution, however, says on human dimension of woman is a human and a great human. Woman is the trainer of society. Elsewhere, Imam Khomeini says on the Prophet's special attention to women, "The history of Islam is testimony to the unlimited respects of the Messenger of God to this noble child, to show that woman enjoys a special greatness in society such that if she is not superior to man, she is not inferior." The Imam's view is in total contrast to the Western culture. Imam Khomeini considers woman as the trainer and manager of family, as believes that woman's lap is the best school for educating children. He says on the status of mother, "The many rights of mothers cannot be counted and fulfilled. One night of mother for her child is more valuable than a committed father's life. The embodiment of affection and mercy in the bright eyes of mother is the ray of mercy and affection of the Lord of the worlds. The hadith that reads, 'Paradise is under the feet of mothers,' is a reality." The Noble Quran presents the best and loftiest descriptions on women. This eternal book of guidance says in Ayah 21 of Surah Rum, "And of his signs is that he has created for you mates from your own selves, that you may take comfort in them. And he ordained affection and mercy between you. There are indeed signs in that for those who reflect."
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers, two Islamic researchers from the Islamic House of Qom, Brother Habib and Shaykh Rouhani. Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Brother Habib, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear listeners, dear brothers and sisters, we would like to express our congratulations on the arrival of the holy month of Ramadan. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us another chance to fast in this holy month of Ramadan. Do not forget us in your prayers and supplications at the time of suhoor and iftar during the holy month of Ramadan. For today's discussion, we want to talk about Ramadan, the spring of the souls and hearts, what to do and what not to do in the month of Ramadan. Okay, Brother Habib, another Ramadan arrived and we are fasting. What to do to give a better quality to our fasting and worship in this holy month of Ramadan?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Again, this month is considered to be the spring of the Quran.
Yes.
And everything on the authority of Imam Baqir alayhi salam, as available in Al-Kafi, which he states that for every لكل شيء ربيع وربيع القرآن شهر رمضان. For everything that there is a spring.
Mm-hmm.
And the spring of the Quran is the month of Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
Spring is usually the month where fruits come back after the winter.
Yes.
It is usually when the flowers start to blossom, when the plants grow green again.
Yes.
The sun is coming back. Animals that were hibernating are coming back.
Yes.
From their hibernation.
Yes.
The same thing with our situation with this, with our worships, especially the Quran. This month is where we focus on the Quran. It is the month of Quran. It is the month of reciting and acting upon the laws of Quran.
Yes.
So therefore, this worship is going to be much stronger.
Mm-hmm.
It must be much stronger. It's not like how, unfortunately, some picture it as we're fasting the entire day. Let's keep it out sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And let's keep it out after iftar. You know, try to meet your family members. You know, it's a very beautiful month for meeting our family members. Why? Because we usually gather during iftar time to eat together. We go and help the needy in this month as the rewards are doubled. It's a chance.
This Ramadan in Islamic Republic of Iran coincides with the new year. Festive, no rules, okay?
No more traveling. That's very bad for you guys.
These are together. The spring of, as you said, Quran and the souls coincided the spring of the year. That's right.
Yeah, that's very beautiful. That's very beautiful. That's a very nice coincidence. But at the end of the day, it's a chance where we meet our family members, where we make our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stronger. It has one of the most significant nights in our lives as believers, as Muslimin, as mu'mineen.
Yes.
And that is the night of Qatr, the night of power.
Mm-hmm.
In this night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will be written.
Oh, okay.
The decree, your wealth, your life, your lifespan,
mm-hmm.
The wickedness in your life, the goodness in your life, your health, everything in this night can be changed with supplication.
Yes.
So during these days, we get ready for these last 10 days of the month. We thrive, we struggle, we sweat and bleed to reach this good status during these nights in order for our supplications to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay. Shaykh Rouhani, as I said, according to the solar calendar, this month of Farvardin, I mean the first month of the solar calendar in Islamic Republic of Iran, also I think in Afghanistan and the other Persian speaking lands, coincides with the holy month of Ramadan. So the spring of the year is the spring, coincides the spring of the purification of the soul. What do you think about it?
Yes, alhamdulillah, these two Bahar or two springs are coincide
two Rabi'ah,
with each other, two Rabi'ahs.
That's right.
One is Rabi'ul Nature and the other one is Rabi'ul Quran.
Yes.
So this is really a great blessing for all of us. In the holy month of Ramadan, I think the best thing that we can say here today to our brothers and sisters is some of the phrases of this beautiful hadith of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in which the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reminds us of the blessings of this spring, of this Rabi'ah, says that, O people, the month of Allah with its blessings, mercy, and forgiveness has come to you. It is the most preferred of all the months with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Its days are the best days. Mm-hmm. Its nights are the best nights, best of nights. And its hours are the best of hours. It is a month in which you have been invited as guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
And have been placed among those honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Very good.
Your breathing in it is like an act of praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Very good.
Your sleep is like an act of worship. Your good deeds are accepted and your prayers answered. Therefore, ask Allah with sincere intentions and pure hearts to help you in fasting.
Yes.
And reciting His book during this month. So indeed, the man is he who is deprived of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness during this month. O people, the gates of paradise are wide open during this month. Therefore, ask your Lord not to close them in your face.
Mm-hmm.
And the gates of hellfire are locked.
Yes.
Therefore, ask your Lord not to open them for you. Satans are chained. Therefore, ask your Lord not to, unfetter them upon you. O people, whosoever among you improves his character during this month, mm-hmm. he shall have the pass to cross over the bridge. I mean, Sirat.
Sirat bridge.
On the
right.
day, yeah, Sirat.
Yes.
Yeah, on the day when people's feet shall slip. So whosoever is lenient with his slaves during this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be lenient with him
mm-hmm.
in the reckoning of his deeds on the day of judgment.
That's right.
Whosoever checks his evil deeds this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall withhold his anger from him on the day he meets him. Whosoever honors an orphan during this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall honor him on the days he meets with him. Whosoever maintains during this month contact with his relations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will maintain his mercy for him
yes.
on the day of judgment. Whosoever recites a verse from the Quran during this month, his reward will be like one who has completed the recitation of the Quran during the other months. These are the beautiful sayings of the Holy Prophet
Sallallahu
Alaihi Wasallam.
Sermon of Prophet Muhammad?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, on the holy month of Ramadan, that would be very much beneficial for all of us.
That's right.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
And we have to take more care about our deeds and actions, you know. Maybe during the other months, we did, for example, some deeds that are not haram, but not recommended to be done in this month, isn't it, Brother Habib?
People are different level in statuses and belief. You have to keep that in mind.
Okay.
You know, some people, you know, are thinking like how you are thinking, mashallah, brother, that I must not do in this month unrecommended actions mm-hmm. and try to do better mm-hmm. recommended actions. Some people, some believers are at the state of, I should be doing my obligations.
Uh-huh.
I should be staying away from this prohibited action.
Okay.
But anyhow, it's general for both of these types of people that this month is a chance. It's a door. It's a wide door. It's our chance. Sins are forgiven easily in this month. Mm-hmm. And rewards are doubled in this month as well.
Right.
It's something, I like to make this, you know, resemblance that it's the match.
Mm-hmm.
Match or the lighter, you know, when you strike the light
okay.
for the lighter, it gives that spark.
Mm-hmm.
This month is that spark, and that spark is very important for the fire.
Yes.
You continue the fire. You're the gas for that fire. You're the stick for the continuation
igniter,
of that fire.
Igniter, that's
yes.
right. Okay.
So after the month, whether this fire continues or not, that goes back to you.
Mm-hmm.
But to spark that fire, it's your chance in this month.
Mm-hmm.
So we must take advantage of it, especially with the so many, you know, doors that are open in this month. It's the table spread of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
It's the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's right.
Yeah.
And is it true that the people are witnessed more than before by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this month? I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all omnipotent, you know, He's all witnessing. But is it true that, for example, even a trivial action will be seen more by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to be rewarded? I mean, a good action
or at the same time an evil action when done during this month are to be chastised more than before?
The month of Rajab, Muharram, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, they're considered to be the sacred months.
Yes.
Those are, we are 100% certain that those months, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, if you do a sin, you'll be, you know, doubled up.
Mm-hmm.
The month of Ramadan, I have not personally seen, I don't know, Sheikh, if you have seen, I have not personally seen that the sins will be doubled up. But rather, I have seen the sayings about blessings and mercy in this month.
Uh-huh.
I have seen the sayings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. Mm-hmm. I have seen that the person who was fasting, just by sleeping,
okay,
just by breathing,
yes,
you gain reward and you gain, mm-hmm, forgiveness.
Okay. That's all right. And usually the people are, Sheikh Rouhani, fasting, abstaining, we can say, from food and drinking or unlawful actions during this iftar and suhoor and iftar. But between the two, I mean, when you break your fast up until suhoor, you are not fasting. But as I remember in our previous program, the fasting continues, isn't it?
Yes, of course.
How is it? How is it that the fasting continues?
Fasting of the other, let's say, organs of your body,
uh-huh,
or let's say that, like your eyes should be always in a state of fasting.
Okay.
Your ears should always be in a state of, mm-hmm, fasting. Your tongue should always be in a state of fasting.
So 24 hours you are fasting.
Yeah. Your heart, okay, your mind, okay, your brain should always be in a state, uh-huh, of fasting. Not, yes, to, not to think of evil action, because first you think of evil deeds and actions, then you perform it.
Okay.
If you can control your mind, your mentality, not to even think, imagine of kind of, because there are ulamas and scholars, they say that the even someone can control his imaginary power.
Oh, imagination.
Quwwatul khiyal.
Oh.
If you can control your quwwatul khiyal, quwwatul khiyal,
that's right.
Yeah, imaginary power, then you can control, let's say, your body, your organs, okay, your deeds. If you cannot control your imaginary power, mm-hmm, then it can deceive you, you know, mm-hmm, because sometimes Satan or the evil agenda, they can, yes, put some wrong things in your imaginary power. Yeah,
yeah,
they temptate you, they, let's say, deceive you. And this kind of temptation may have influenced you.
Yes, as one of these ulama give a nice example that, you know, even thinking about a sin is like making a fire in a white house. So when you make a fire in a white house, it does not necessarily burn the house, yeah, but it darkens the color of the house. So, yes, even thinking about the sin,
that's a narration about Jesus. About Jesus.
About Jesus Christ.
Yeah, okay. And
I've heard it from a Tongan Nahala.
That even though you do not burn the house, you make the house filled with smoke.
With the smoke,
you
with dark smoke.
You fill it with the smoke, yes, and, yes, you fill it with the dirt of the smoke.
Yes.
So yes, you know, thinking about the sins and, you know, talking to yourself about committing, uh-huh, sin and stuff like that. At the end of the day, we're human beings, you know.
Yes.
There are these, you know, falatat, these, yes, you know, stumbles,
yes,
in our path. And we have the in the narrations, okay, that whenever, for example, you're thinking about sin, you know, to,
yes,
to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mm-hmm, with your tongue and with your mentality, you know, remembering, stating La ilaha illallah, saying istighfar.
Yes.
Always being in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a difficult thing.
Yes.
You know, yeah. It is a difficult thing. No one's saying it's easy,
yes,
but at the end of the day, we're living a difficult life to reach a well reward,
mm-hmm,
present reward, and that is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you very much, Brother Habib. We wish again that during this Rabi of the year, according to the solar calendar, which is the month of Farvardin, we could find a kind of peace and calmness of a Rabi inside our heart and minds and soul during the holy month of Ramadan, the Rabi of the Quran. Thank you very much, Brother Habib and Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the topic, the holy month of Ramadan, what to do and what not to do in this holy month. It was very kind of you, and thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. Do not forget us in your duas and supplications in this holy month of Ramadan. Thank you very much. Fi amanallah and goodbye.
I know that you could easily take away everything you've given me, and I try to remember not to take anything for granted.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please don't forget to log on to our website at parsetoday.ir. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close, close to you through life, ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way. Hey, I know that sometimes I do forget that my next breath could be the last. Forgive me, cause I can't think.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except him, and he has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hussein Latifi and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program we talk about different dimensions of the human soul and the human being according to the verses and teachings of the Holy Quran. In the previous episode, we ended up talking about human intellect and how different things can stop human intellect from functioning properly. as the leader and as the main command center of the human being. We said in an ideal picture, an image of a perfect man in the Holy Quran, a perfect man is a person who acts based on the decree of the reason and not based on the decree of other faculties or other desires that are there in the human being. Many people confuse the two. They think it is the reason that they're following, while at the same time, this sometimes it's the desire that has captivated the reason. It is the conceit and arrogance that has captivated the reason, and the person thinks this is the reasonable choice, while at the end of the day, we realize that this is according to the carnal desire of the person, and the carnal desire has taken as hostage the reason and intellect. Intellect is functioning as a maid and as a servant to the carnal desires. So we talked about all of this, and one of the threats, one of the things that stops reason from functioning properly, we said, is following blindly the tradition. Blind obedience to the tradition, blind obedience to social norms and social habits. And we said that it's not proper, it's not correct to fight with the all social norms, as some arrogant people do, but at the same time, it's not correct to follow social norms altogether without any personal and independent evaluation, according to the verses of the Holy Quran and according to the hadith that we have. We have to distinguish the last hadith that we recited, لا تكون أما, do not be أما, do not be a person who says, I'm with people. Always, whatever that he does, he explains, he justifies it by being with people. No, if somebody commits a bad thing, a sin, he cannot justify it just by saying everybody else does it. So if everybody else does something wrong, it doesn't justify my action. In another verse in the Holy Quran, we recite, عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ لَيَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. O believers, be careful about yourselves. Do not think that people, other people who go astray, they're going to harm you, or they can, you can justify your actions because of those people. لَا يَذَرُكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. If you do something good and the rest of the people, they do something bad, it's up to them. You should take care of yourself and your actions. So another verse that talks about this topic, being careful and not blindly following the tradition, is this verse that says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ وَإِلَى الرَّسُولِ قَالُوا حَسْبُنَا مَا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهَا آبَاءَنَا. When they are told, come to the what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, and is revealed to His Prophet, His Apostle, they say, okay, whatever that we have found with our forefathers, in the tradition of our fathers, would be enough for us. حَسْبُنَا. أَوَلَوْ كَانَ أَبُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. Even if their fathers didn't know anything. So in the previous verse, it was لا يعقلون شيئا. Quran says, for how long or to what extent do you want to follow the tradition? Even if the tradition is against reason, you want to follow it? And here Quran says, even if the tradition is based on ignorance, the tradition is based on not knowing, lacking knowledge, still you want to follow that tradition? لا يعلمون شيئا ولا يهتدون. And the tradition is based on misguidance, you want to still follow it? So, yes, this also is a beautiful verse, that the main criterion for following and not following should not be for that thing to be part of the tradition. In contrast, it should be the fact that it is in accordance with knowledge or with reason. We're going to have a break and come back to continue our discussion.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hussein Latifi, and you're listening to your program for Humanity from IRIB English Radio. In the first episode, we were talking about the verses of the Holy Quran talking about blind following the social habits and social norms. We are left with one last verse in this topic. The verse is, فَلَا تَكُ فِي مِرْيَةٍ مِمَّا يَعْبُدُهَا أُولَى. Do not be in doubt about what these people worship, the idols that they used to worship. مَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَعْبُدَ أَبَاهُمْ. They only do that, they worship idols, because their forefathers also did the same thing. مِنْ قَبْلُ. So, sometimes you see some behaviors from some people, and then you wonder, maybe this has some root, maybe this has... Maybe there's a philosophy behind this, maybe there's a wisdom, because you see such a great number of people are doing it, and constantly, and so... you wonder, maybe this is something great, some philosophy. But then when you ask them, you realize that, well, they don't have any justification for it, except that this is, we found it among the common practices of our forefathers, I don't know, whatever. So, Quran says, فَلَا تَكُ فِي مِرْيَةٍ. Do not have doubt in terms of thinking that there is a great, for example, philosophy behind these behaviors. No. They're empty behaviors. Behaviors that are... there is a word for that in English, if I remember it correctly. A herd practice or herd behavior, something like this. When a sheep in a herd does something, the rest of the herd do that without even thinking what would be... What is the benefit? What's the use? What's the point in that? They just see other sheep are doing, then they follow. So sometimes... This happens, herd behavior among people as well. And the person who observes the situation thinks that maybe there is something going on. Maybe there's a point in that. But once you do your investigation, you ask people about their motivation for that, you realize that it's nothing. It's because of that fear that some people have. That if I don't follow the social norms, if I will be rejected or if I'll be left lonely, something like that. Well, Quran says these are not correct bases for choosing your identity, your behavioral pattern, your personality. Because at the end of the day, what we do builds who we are. And this is not... This is not something we should take lightly. This is something that has to do a lot of things, has to do with our eternal life, with the life that we have after this life, because the things that we do have ramifications, have consequences, though we don't see them now, but at the end of the day, a person might look at his personality, his identity, and a great deal of that personality and identity is made and built because of these kinds of, I don't know, empty following or blind following of the tradition or social habits. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us have our own individual and independent evaluation of these situations and behaviors. Thank you very much for listening. Inshallah, until next episode. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي.
Hello, I'm Mubarak Kenya, and a big welcome to this week's edition of Africa Today.
Stay tuned with Africa Today.
Africa Today.
In late 2023, South Africa filed a case at the International Court of Justice, ICJ, over the Israeli apartheid regime's genocidal war against Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip. South Africa stated that the Tel Aviv regime has failed to uphold its commitments under the 1948 Genocide Convention. South Africa filed a lawsuit against the Israeli regime at the end of December, noting that Israel's actions in Gaza that started last October are genocidal in character because they are intended to bring about the destruction of a substantial part of the Palestinian national, racial, and ethnic group. Now, the UN Court, in its interim ruling on January the 26th stated that South Africa's claims are plausible. The court ordered provisional measures that the Israeli regime must implement to prevent genocidal acts and allow humanitarian flow into the Gaza Strip. The Israeli regime has ignored this ruling and continues with its US-backed genocidal war against Palestinians. South Africa has been one of the outspoken critics of the Israeli regime's genocidal war against Palestinians and has led some initiatives to hold this regime accountable for its actions in Gaza. So what are the main factors behind South Africa's long-standing solidarity with Palestine?
South Africa ICJ case against Israel.
Hello, I'm Mubarak Kenya, and welcome to Africa Today. And this week, we are discussing the ongoing South Africa's genocide case against the Israeli regime at the International Court of Justice, ICJ. Now, the case has drawn the admiration of all freedom seekers worldwide. We have a special guest to discuss the topic today. He's none other than South African Ambassador to Iran, His Excellency Dr. Francis Moloi. Thank you, Mr. Ambassador, for your time today.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Mubarak. It's a pleasure to be here.
As we know, many freedom seekers worldwide and people who love peace, they have welcomed South Africa's case against the Israeli apartheid regime at the ICC over its genocidal war against Palestinians in Gaza. Now, first, can you tell us what was the motivation or the factors behind South Africa's move to initiate this very historical case?
Well, the people of Palestine have been under occupation for over 75 years. Yeah. And they have not enjoyed the rights and freedoms that we as the world community have proclaimed on, particularly after the Second World War.
Yeah.
They have been on the receiving end of Israeli brutality, Israeli violence, violation of human rights and freedoms, denial of rights. And that situation of the Nakba has been continuing since 1948. But what we saw since October last year is unprecedented in recent memory. And when we looked at the totality of what the apartheid government in Israel has done, for us it is a very clear, straightforward, open and shut textbook case of genocide. Because what has happened in Gaza flows directly from the genocidal instructions, genocidal statements that were uttered by the top state functionaries in Israel. And those instructions and statements were carried to the letter by the IDF. And when we look at everything that has happened, every single one of those violations that have been committed fit very neatly the provisions of Article 2 of the Genocide Convention. It is clear that these actions by the Israeli Defense Force are aimed at killing the members of the group, which are the Palestinians, to cause them immense bodily and mental harm. Everything has been you know, done to ensure the total destruction of Palestinian lives. Everything has been done to prevent the births in the Palestinian community. And if you look at that, for us, that is a textbook definition of what a genocide is. But why did we decide to go to the ICJ and not any other court? Because, first of all, the ICJ is the only tribunal in the system of international law that has jurisdiction to decide the disputes over genocide. South Africa, as a signatory to the Genocide Convention, like Israel and all other countries, we all have an obligation, a binding obligation under the Genocide Convention to prevent the crime of genocide and to punish it. The other very important consideration that we took into account was that Israel itself is a signatory to the Genocide Convention, and by its signature, it has consented to the jurisdiction of the ICJ over the disputes related to to the crime of genocide. And we as South Africa, by virtue of the fact that we also have an obligation under the Genocide Convention,